Today on The Grave Talks, Pretty Gritty Ghosts, Tacoma's Haunted History, a conversation with Chris Dottinger. What do sea monsters, haunted ships, and a creepy high school gym have in common? Well, they're just a few of the stops on the tours led by Chris Dottinger, owner, operator, and lead guide of Pretty Gritty Tours in Tacoma, Washington. Today, Chris takes us on a virtual journey through the haunted corners and forgotten history of Gritty City, where ghost stories and local lore lurk around every turn. From the misty trails of Point Defiance Park, said to be haunted by a young spirit, to the shadowy halls of the Foss Seaport, Tacoma's haunted past is anything but quiet. And down the road in Bucota, a town with a population barely over 500, you'll find a haunted 1939 gymnasium and its most unsettling resident, a haunted doll named Abby. These aren't just ghost stories. They're the restless echoes of a past that refuses to stay buried. Today on The Grave Talks, Pretty Gritty Ghosts, Tacoma's Haunted History, a conversation with Chris Dottinger. So, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me tonight about hauntings in Tacoma, Washington. I'm really excited about this.
Me too. I'm always excited to talk about this particular topic.
Now, you have Pretty Gritty Tours. So I wanted to ask you about where you came up with that name, and I kind of stumbled upon it. Tacoma is known as Gritty City or Grit City. And it's really a term of endearment.
It is. I mean, we don't shy away from the fact that we are an industrial blue-collar port town. And there is a lot to this city that is transcendently beautiful, but also pretty gritty. And so that was my inspiration, not just for Tacoma, but for all the tours, is to always focus on the sincere on both sides. So to highlight the gritty, but also the pretty.
And you are the owner, operator, and tour guide, I'm sure, when need be. And you have tours that you offer in Tacoma, Olympia, and Seattle, and the Tri-Cities?
That's correct. We're all over. If it's Washington, we're probably there.
How did you get started doing that, Chris?
I spent about a decade as a professional journalist and travel writer. And always loved finding unique aspects to a destination and sharing them with people. But when the time came to kind of like get off the road full time, my passion and my hope was to really start a tour company just here in Tacoma to help other people appreciate this destination.
I love that. And because the tours aren't just ghost tours, there's historical tours. I saw you have a sweet tour, true crime tours.
We got the whole shebang. Like I said, it's all the gritty, it's all the pretty. We try and highlight the best of the region.
That sweet tour sounds quite fascinating.
It's delicious too.
Can you do like a sweet ghost tour? Like you could go do hauntings and stop for treats at different places. Can you arrange that?
I feel like they're destined to be together, of course.
Yeah. It sounds like a great money-making opportunity. Go ahead and steal it.
I'll cut you in on your 10%.
Okay, thank you very much. So with Tacoma, you know, it's fun because I wasn't really thinking of Tacoma as necessarily a super haunted city, right? And then once I got to reading about it, after I came across your tour company, I was like, you've got some really interesting stories in that area.
And a shocking amount of tragedy, really.
And one thing that I did appreciate about your site was it said, we are accomplished historians and educators that are excited to share the legacy of this region. And I really appreciate historian and educator because, you know, there are a lot of tour companies and I don't always trust that I'm getting the historically accurate picture. And personally, I appreciate historical accuracy. Now, you can't always say this is exactly what happened, especially when it comes to paranormal things. But a lot of times the history alone can kind of explain some things.
Absolutely.
So what kind of research did you have to do to start putting tours together?
Exhaustive.
Oh, I bet.
You know, I always start with rumors and ghost stories and then try and trace them back to the moment there was an event, something that kind of led to that. So I almost de-embellish things.
Oh, that's
interesting.
And then
when I get to the core of it, it really seems to be the juiciest.
Do you have an example off the top of your head that when you first started doing this, you heard a ghost story and then you deconstructed it?
You know, I do. And Point Defiance is this 725-acre old-growth forest urban park that we have. And when I first was in Tacoma, there was a ghost story about it, of this girl who wanders around the driving loop that meanders through the park. And for generations, people have seen this girl standing alongside the road. And when they get out of the car to check on her, because she's trying to flag them down, she vanishes. And those began in the mid-1980s, which is the time that a 14-year-old girl was abducted and murdered in that park. It's part of a long legacy of serial killers and strange happenings in the city of Tacoma. So once you get to the sort of like origin story that begins the ghostly tales, it gets even more intriguing for me.
Did you feel like there was some credibility to that, that perhaps it could be her haunting the park?
You know, I always look at all ghost stories with the belief that it's got to be one or the other, that there is a paranormal aspect to it, something that's trying to reach out because it needs to be heard or it needs closure, or there's something at the deepest part of our subconscious that reaches out for those stories because it's important to tell them. And so whether the ghosts come from without or within, I think both are valid explanations.
Now, I was reading about that park, which, by the way, is huge. If it's, did you say 750 acres?
It is 725,
that
I think.
That is huge.
Yeah, I mean, massive.
And it just looks so beautiful because I saw pictures of it. But I heard there are other stories about hauntings at Point Defiance.
It's true. And the park is extraordinary because it is that old growth forest. You know, there are trees in there that are upwards of 500 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the only part of the Tacoma area that didn't get destroyed by the logging industry and just like clear cut out.
And how were they able to, because maybe they declared it as a park back then, so they couldn't go in and tear that out?
It was designated as a military installation.
Oh,
the U.S. military was going to build a fort there and then prevent people from coming into that area of Puget Sound. But because they never developed it, they just turned it over to the Parks Department in Tacoma, and they've kept stewardship of it ever since.
Wow, what a blessing. Yeah. That turned out great.
What a windfall, right?
Right? Yes.
But it has collected all sorts of ghostly encounters in it, from the park itself and from what's been brought in there over the years.
Like, what do you mean by been brought in there?
So in the 1930s, the oldest buildings in Washington State were from a place called Fort Nisqually. It was a British encampment in the Washington Territory. The original Fort Nisqually was kind of dilapidated, but in the 30s, they got the WPA to disassemble those original buildings, bring them up to Point Defiance, and then reassemble them as part of a living history museum in the park.
That's interesting.
And that timber brought with it its past, because there were a few, I would say, unjust events that took place and I think have left their echo on the grounds.
Because I always feel like, you know, everything has an energy to it and an emotion attached to it almost. And so I see when you can transfer things or bringing things into your own home, I see how things can come along with them. So
absolutely.
That's interesting.
And so to take the whole building, you know, and then reassemble it and then create, because they then continued to fill in. They used historic building methods to create this whole replica of the fort. And at the heart of it are those original buildings. And so, you know, if you were a wandering spirit, it would be a fantastic place to feel that sense of belonging. Because it looks and smells just like it used to.
Do you do actual ghost tours there at Point Defiance?
Yeah, we've done a few in Fort Nisqually itself and then also throughout the park, and just trying to acquaint people with the history of it, because it has been, you know, decades and decades. It actually used to be part of the burial grounds for the Puyallup tribe. When the Puyallup tribe were burying members there, they were still doing sky burials where someone would be laid to rest in a canoe and then lofted up into a tree where their remains would stay.
Now, I have never heard of that. That seems quite traumatizing if you were at the service for that person.
It was for those who were deeply revered at the time. It was definitely traumatizing for those guys in the 1930s who were working on the park.
Could you imagine?
And were encountering some human remains falling out of the trees.
And it would take a while to figure that out. You know, because I don't know that you would go, well, back in the day, you know, there's one guy who might have known about it, but I think it would take a while to find that person who can explain that to you.
Obviously the education wasn't quite what it is today. So, and no one was like Googling it.
Right. Like, do you have that kind of, I mean, you do ghost tours. That doesn't mean that you pick up on activity or you're particularly sensitive. Maybe you are. Do you feel like that is a pretty haunted location? You get the vibes of it when you're there, or maybe the people you take on the tour with you?
Definitely the people I take with me are constantly feeling something there. It's one of the most active spots, I think, that I take people.
Because I think that there's certain, especially a place that is so wooded and so many, you know, it's a park, it's a forest, that I always feel like there's something that could be watching you that you can't see.
And that's the thing about Point Defiance that kind of straddles that line, because, you know, it's also the woods at night in a park. And so it already has that primordial energy to it, but it can also attract randos in the middle of the night.
See, so, I always am like, serial killers hang out at places like that. I just know it.
Yeah, well, and historically, yes, they have. So there's that palpable sense of danger in the evening just built into it.
Yeah, because you can't see what's out there. Does it also have a history with any cryptids or any sightings like that? Because it seems like a perfect place.
You know, it definitely has. It has a tremendous amount of wildlife already in it, raccoons and foxes and coyotes and deer. But also over the years, there have been multiple Sasquatch sightings in that region.
Because why not? I mean, when I was recently in Oregon and it's just so wooded, I'm in Kansas. It's not like that here. I'm like, why wouldn't there be a Sasquatch hanging out somewhere? Because there's so many places for it to hide. It would be so easy to get lost in a forest like that. It would be hard to find it.
In. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Not. I don't have any experience with any Bigfoots or Sasquatches or anything like that. But I'm like, I kind of see how they could be hidden away.
Just, I mean, Washington State alone has some of the most sightings in the nation.
Where do you fall? Are you like, yes, no, I don't know?
Oh, man.
That's a tough one. I'm in the I don't know because I don't have experience with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an investigator, right? And so I'm never willing to discount something entirely.
Because it could exist. You just haven't gotten any experience with it.
Exactly.
Not too far from Tacoma. It looks kind of on the map like maybe between Tacoma and Olympia. It's a little town called, tell me if I'm saying this right, Bucota.
Well, yes. Technically, it's called Bucota, but Bucota. Every year, by proclamation, they rebrand to Bucota, and they have a whole haunted festival for the whole
like
entire B-O-O. Month of October.
I love that. Because when you're saying that, I'm like, why are they doing a proclamation every year? I get it now. I like, okay, Bucota. For when it's Bucota because of the time of year that we are recording this, in a couple months it will be Bucota.
Correct.
Okay. Tell me about that town because it sounds like a haunted little ghost town.
It is terrifying.
Really?
I love it. Oh my gosh. It is a lumber boom town. They used to have this $1 million payroll, and then almost overnight, it turned into a ghost town. And the things that make it relevant are terrifying. One of which is, it was the first territorial penitentiary for Washington Territory. And so they had this thick, dark, almost windowless, for-profit prison out in the woods there. And the site that they chose was abandoned because none of the local tribes wanted to go into that space because they all thought that there was something dark living in the woods out there. Over the years, its reputation has only gotten more mysterious because the town is mostly famous for train fatalities, haunted dolls, and a gym where people have heart attacks.
Oh my gosh.
Mix into that.
I don't even
spice.
Know where to start with that information.
wherever you want.
Let's start with the train tracks. So okay. What's going on there? Do they need better markers?
There's so many things I guess you could do to improve it, but the main commercial line cuts straight through the downtown, such as it is, you know? And there have been a series of fatalities, people whose cars have stalled on the tracks, people who didn't hear the train coming, a variety of fatalities over the years.
Oh, that's just horrific. And it does seem like there's things they could do to help that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me then about the haunted doll.
So over the years, each little place in Bucota has gotten more of a haunted reputation. They have this haunted bar, they have a haunted gym, they have a haunted park. And at some point, they received as a donation this doll named Abby. Abby is an animatronic doll that, even though the batteries have been taken out, continues to move and talk.
Oh.
And so they just keep her inside the gym year round. She has her preferences. Certain members of town she'll talk to and others she won't. And ever since Abby's arrived in Bucota, more and more dolls are just seen around town. Like they show up.
It's because people have a haunted doll and they're like, I have got to get rid of this. I am taking it to that town and leaving
nobody
it.
Nobody knows. They just
That's
show
interesting.
Up there.
As other dolls show up, are they kind of putting them in a collection?
It
are they keeping
depends.
Them? Or
Some of them end up in the gym. Some of them you'll just find out on the street. Like they'll just be in the woods around Bucota.
Oh, that's so creepy.
I know.
I have a thing about dolls, and haunted dolls in particular. And I know it's my mother collecting porcelain dolls. It was terrifying to me as a child, I guess. But because they always look like they're watching you, no matter where you go, it looks like they know where you're going and they're just got their eye on you. But you know, the haunted doll, especially a doll that's talking that doesn't have batteries, you know, that shouldn't be happening. So she just ended up there and they keep her in the gym.
They do. In this massive 1930s gym that's abandoned. They open it annually as a haunted house. But it's had its own collection of fatalities inside.
What's going on with that?
Again, no one's 100% sure, but it's like a certain amount of people have entered the gym and then they just have a heart attack and collapse inside.
Which is interesting. It's not like they're dying in different ways. It kind of, there's a through line there.
So one of the leading, you know, talked about things about Bucota is that it's a gateway. And in fact, in that park I was mentioning, there's a tree that some people call the Devil's Gateway. And it's a tree that forks at the bottom near the roots. And so a lot of people for years now have felt that something can pass from one area into our realm through that gateway at the bottom of the tree. And so some paranormal groups have speculated that dolls in town end up becoming vessels that receive the things that pass through that gateway unseen.
I don't really love that at all.
I mean, not great
for
the real estate in Bucota, but wonderful
for every little girl who's got her favorite doll that suddenly starts talking to her in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Like, put that in the cabinet, lock it up. Yes.
We're taking this to the haunted gym, Jennifer. So have you seen Abby?
I have. I've been down a few years now, and I've seen her move around. She was a huge fan of the former mayor, and she would talk to him really regularly, but she would get kind of shy around other people.
That is so crazy.
I know.
When you say she would talk to him, would it be like, hi, mayor? I mean, would they talk about city planning? Or would it just be like a back and forth conversation? Or would it be more just like a acknowledgement, like the little things that dolls say? You know how they're programmed to say certain things? Is it more like that?
Yeah, she would kind of repeat her same lines, but then sometimes they would cut off in different places. And so it's very strange. It's as if she's malfunctioning a little.
Yeah.
But again, like, unless she's plugged into something I've never seen, there's no reason for her to keep going.
Do you find these reports of Abby and her abilities, do you find them to be credible? Is it like a lot of people have experience that, I'm assuming?
Yes. I mean, Tacoma has, and its surrounding area, has fundamentally changed me, I think, because there are just some things that I don't really have a good explanation for. Abby's top amongst them.
And the town seems to kind of strangely embrace her, because, you know, she's scary, yes, she's a haunted doll, but they're not getting rid of her, which they could have put her in a canoe and thrown her up in a tree.
You know, there's something to be said for keeping, you know, the devil you know.
Right. That's kind of what I think, too. I'm like, I wouldn't want to be stuck with her because I would not want to be Abby's caretaker by any means. But at the same time, am I the one to destroy this? And can you, is the other question.
Exactly. Well, it's better to have a space designated for her than to try and anger a doll needlessly. As weird as that is to say out loud.
Do you find that gymnasium, does it have reports of, I'm assuming it has reports of paranormal activity as well, besides Abby and causing people unexplained heart attacks.
You know, they keep security cameras on it year round because they store their haunted house items inside. And so they have clips that I've seen of things just flying across the room, of you know, baskets of stuff getting tipped over in there. It's very bizarre, and I don't have any good explanations for that either.
That is something else. So that's one of those real haunted attractions, you know, because they market it as a haunted attraction, but it is also in a haunted location.
Yeah, and that's what I love about them, is that they've taken this gym of death, they turn it into a haunted house that you walk through, but then they've just filled it with powerful totems of the occult.
That has got to be really intense, actually, to go through, especially if you know, and like they keep Abby in there. I'm assuming she's like the big main attraction, I would think.
Oh, yeah. She's the star of the show.
That is something else. How have I never heard about Abby? That's so interesting.
We're a fringe place out here. What can I say?
So, but she just stays there year round in that.
She does. Thankfully, she doesn't wander off.
And do you think that with the territorial prison being in that area, do you think that could have caused... Are there still buildings left from that?
So they removed the former penitentiary. The building itself is gone, but the site is there and remains empty. It's an empty lot. And one of the spaces that has drawn the most attention is that anyone who died in that space got kind of put into this mass grave at the local cemetery. Oh. And so there is a significant amount of want and need and business left undone in that area.
I love how they've kind of just embraced this. But it's a little bitty city these days, right? Like 500 people or something?
Oh, 500 would probably be pushing it. It's okay. Tiny. Yeah.
But just a few people still living there. And then is it kind of seasonal when people really go in and tour, or do you do tours there kind of throughout the year?
It's almost exclusively seasonal.
Okay.
They have a fantastic haunted bar there, but outside of that, it's a pretty much fall time town.
What's the name of the haunted bar for anybody? It's probably the only one.
It is, but it's Joe's.
Joe's Bar. Okay.
Yeah, Joe's Place down there.
I would love to go in a haunted bar and have a beer. That would be
great.
Fun. That would be awesome. I would love that so much. And that wraps up part one of our conversation about Pretty Gritty Ghosts, Tacoma's haunted history, with Chris Dottinger, owner, operator, and tour guide of Pretty Gritty Tours. For more information, visit their website at prettygrittytours.com, or you can find a link in the show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You could also sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.